So as we enter into a time of prayer, first of all, we have two prayer quilts. They will be outside the sanctuary on the table for you to tie a knot and say a prayer on your way out to let them know we are thinking and praying for them. Before I go into my prayer, as Bob alluded to, I always have a little story to share with you on the theme of today and how I came up with a prayer. And today's theme and this whole sermon series is on superpowers, using your superpowers for good. Today, the X-Men, some of them have odd superpowers, or they're revealed and they were ostracized for them. I don't know exactly what my superpower is, but I think it may have to do with wordsmithing, meaning being able to come up with words, being able to use words, which you can use for evil, but I try to use them for good. So being creative in thinking and putting things together in words or looking at things in a different angle. For example, I could use things for evil, but often when I'm in church, I think, oh, I can't say that. That would be not real appropriate. But then I think, but God gave me this skill, this superpower. And so I think somebody out there probably appreciates it. And often, I like to find the humor in things. That's how I think about things and the creativity and the words that I come up with. So here's a story. Last week, it was 9:30 last week, so we saw the worship band. So you may have been here at 9:30, but it may have been your first experience with the worship band. Mike does an awesome job, and I usually do the soundboard for the band, and then I'm taken up. Apparently now my new superpower may be tambourine skills. I don't know. So I'm playing the tambourine, running back and forth between the soundboard, but when I'm up playing the tambourine, I can't be back at the back, and I noticed on his vocal mic that it had a red light on it, meaning that it's not turned on, but I wasn't back there to hold up the sign, so I thought, I was standing right there, I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? And then immediately, the thought was, well, just go up to him and push it. Like, he's not looking back at you, so go up and push the button. And then I realized that he was standing up at the front and his microphone pack was in his back pocket. So imagine what it would have looked like if I had walked up and poked him in the back pocket. He eventually remembered to turn on his microphone. But that is a little reveal as to my superpower that I could have used for evil. But instead, I used it for good. And I didn't do what I was going to do. Pray with me. Lord, we praise you for all that you give us each minute of the day, that you give us regardless of our deservedness, thankfulness, or ability to comprehend it. But you have trust in us to be worthy. Your power is mighty and love unconditional, and your confidence in us inspires confidence in ourselves. Thank you for the supports we have to guide us through these times. Those superpowers that you have bestowed on us that we need to give thanks for and use in your name for good. We pray for those people who are struggling to believe in you as they may be going through difficult times. Use us as a measure of comfort, but also to display your love. Provide in us the power to show your light and support as an example and encouragement for them to believe. We pray for those people battling with fear, anxiety, depression, poverty, health, loss. We pray for those people that are now dealing with flooding and weather from Hurricane Barry. We pray for those people as it is getting hot that may be dealing with this heat and not have air conditioning, not have someone to check on them. Allow us to be their support in that, as well as with you. Even though we know that you're always with us, We pray that at the times when we feel lost and have forgotten, that you open our minds to your voice and your presence. Those times when we forget the superpowers that you have given us, that you will remind us in those dark moments that we will see your light. Through you and those acting in your name, to hear your voice reminding us of the power of prayer. And when we experienced the light and sunshine and gloriousness, that we remember who brought it and to thank you more than just today, but every day over and over. And now let us give thanks for our own personal moments. And now join together with me saying those words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, I don't know if I have any superpowers, but I do love to read out loud. And so if you'll indulge me, I'd like to read today's scripture lesson, which is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. Stanley Lieber, who you're going to see up in the screen in a moment, he was born in 1922 in the Bronx. Oops. And he was influenced by adventure novels and movies. And by the time he was in high school, he had made his life goal to write the great American novel. Now, for a boy growing up in the Great Depression, not having much in the way of means, it was a difficult thing for him to do. So he found, though, that he did have a gift for writing. So he took odd jobs. He wrote obituaries. He wrote some press releases. And he actually graduated from high school at 16 and was eventually hired by a comic book publisher who eventually became Marvel Comics, who you may have heard of. Now, he started out filling the inkwells, and he would erase the pencil marks of other artists. Talk about starting out at the bottom. Well, then at age 18, he chose the name Stan Lee. Took his first name and split it apart when he published his first comic. Now, his work was well-regarded, and he moved from writing filler for comics to developing his own. He had two artistic partners. They were Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko. And they went on to create a lot of different characters. Some are up here on the screen. You can see Spider-Man, the Incredible Hulk, Thor's up there, Captain Marvel. I mean, some that we've talked about, others that we haven't. But he was an amazing man, creative and For most of his life, he lived in New York City, moved to Los Angeles at the end. He won countless awards. He spoke at conferences. He loved to do cameos in movies and shows around his characters. And if you haven't seen them, you can YouTube all of the Stan Lee cameos. And he wrote an autobiography. He did all these amazing things, yet he never achieved his dream of writing the great American novel. I think he achieved something more. I wouldn't say by missing out on that novel that somehow Stan Lee is a failure. He took his gifts, think about that, his spiritual gifts, his talents, his creative ability to write, his mind that just looked at things in a different way, and he has influenced pop culture for decades now. Even after his death, he's still influencing us. And so when, like Stan Lee, we recognize our gifts and when we use them, remarkable things can happen. So this summer, we're looking at what it means to be a hero of the faith. That's what we're talking about. We're looking at Bible heroes, superheroes, everyday heroes. Now, if you've missed any of the messages from the first 4 weeks, you can find them online at the church website. Just go there and listen to those. We've talked about faith heroes, foundations, their code of conduct. We've talked about being loyal. We've talked about how teams can come together and use their superpowers. Well, this week, I told you, we're going to be talking about how we can use our superpowers for good. Now, you may not have the ability to fly. Anyone? No? Shoot webs from their wrists? Anyone? No? Crush things? No? Oh, Bruce can. Bruce picks things up and puts them down. That's a superpower. And regardless of that, you have the opportunity. When you came in this morning, you should have been handed this. This is a spiritual gifts inventory. Did everybody get one? Raise your hand if you didn't, and our ushers will find you. Okay? So you have that. Take that out. I want you to just be holding that because it'll give you something to hold while I'm talking. So when we look at spiritual gifts, what they are is they're something given to us by the Holy Spirit. You heard that in the scripture today. The Apostle Paul was writing to early members of the church and telling them about their spiritual gifts and everything else that they had available to them that allowed them to come together and promote God's reign here on earth. Now, they're different from skills. I just want to point that out. It's not like you go to college or high school or elementary school to get your spiritual gifts. It's different than that. These are things that have been given to us innately by the Holy Spirit. And the other thing you shouldn't do with them is put your hands in the air and go, no, 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 you're not talking about me. I'm not going to use my gifts that the Holy Spirit gave me. I'm not going to do that, because we're all supposed to be using them for the greater glory of God here on earth. So when you accept those gifts, nurture them, grow them, you'd be amazed what can happen, and we get to use them for good. Charles Xavier is one character you can think of when you talk about using gifts and talents and spiritual gifts for good. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created Professor Charles Xavier in 1963, known as Professor X. Now, he grew up in a wealthy family in upstate New York, went to the best schools, earned several PhDs, and early on, though, he discovered he wasn't like most of his colleagues. He had special gifts. He was brilliant. But more than that, he could actually read people's minds and control their actions with that same gift. And through his studies, his genetic studies, he discovered he was a human mutant. What's more, he found out there were other human mutants around the world. And along the way, throughout his life, he befriended some. Others opposed him. But he found when mutants came together and used their special gifts that they could do amazing things. Even though there were people who were afraid of them, because they had powers that others didn't, and others wanted to control them because they were scared. So what did Professor X do? What would you do in this situation? Well, he did the right thing. He opened up a school. He opened up the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. That's what he opened. I want to make sure I had it right. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate you being my prop this morning. Now, he created this device, once he created the school, called Cerebro. And it was basically this huge room that he could go into that would enhance his powers and allow him to find all the mutants in the world. What a wonderful gift to have. So he decided he was going to bring these mutants together to educate them and to use their powers for good to help humankind. Now, here's what he believed. He believed that everyone could get along. Humans and mutants could get along. Mutants and mutants could get along. He had this noble idea that his school could become something more. So he set it up at the family mansion, the X mansion. Are we noticing a theme here? But once you have these students and they're working together, you gotta call them something. So he settled on the, work with me here, people. X-person, John said. All right, they're called X-men, and there are X-women as well. We don't know why they weren't called X-persons, but I don't have time to talk about that. So this is just a quick overview of how Professor X started and how he got it going. Because as you know, superhero tales, like our lives, can be a lot more complicated than that, can't they? And also, remember, there are over 100 mutants in the different comic books and movies, and they run in different timelines. It can get very confusing. Who here in the sanctuary has their favorite? Anyone? I'm not going to ask you to yell it out. You can admit you have a favorite X-Man or woman or person. But as it plays out, as the story plays out, we find Professor X helping the mutants to figure out what their gifts are and how to use them in a responsible way for good and to fight evil in this earth. Now, it can be said of the first missionaries in the church going out for the resurrected Christ, they had that same mission, didn't they? To bring good into the world. Paul traveled around the Mediterranean bringing the good news of salvation to others. And it was Paul's goal that new Christians filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ would use their gifts. They would create communities of grace and peace would prevail here on earth. Now, sometimes things didn't work out that way. Human beings were involved, remember? And you hear a couple weeks ago about the church in Corinth having a disagreement. Some people wanted to follow Paul, others wanted to follow Apollos. Come on, people, we're following Christ. Figure this out. So Paul stepped in and he said, we've got to fix this. Well, it didn't stop there. Because what they discovered in this community is they had spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And there were those who wanted to create a hierarchy and say that certain gifts are better than others. I'm going to put them in a list, and this is the order, my gift's better than your gift. So Paul, once again, has to step in because here you have a church that could potentially fall apart because of ego, because of jealousy, because of pride. And so he tackled that subject in today's scripture that Chris read. And he pointed out every single person is given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. Every person has something to one degree or another. Some gifts are evident. You can see them the minute you meet a person. Other gifts, they're lying dormant and they need to be woken up and they need to be nurtured and grown. Now, I've taken numerous spiritual gift inventories and I encourage you all to do that. But I'll tell you, the top two seem to be consistent for me. It's faith and giving. Those are my top two. And so those are the ones I tend to use to promote the good for Jesus Christ here in the world. Other ones, I will admit, mercy is not one of my high scores. Now, I can do it, And it requires some effort. But there are those whose mercy scores up here, and they're amazing at it. I have to work at it. Another one that don't ask me to make something for you. Now, I can cook, but I'm talking that artistic, crafty, making things out of wood or fabric or any of that. I score zero or lower on that. But that's okay. My other spiritual gifts, I use them to promote God's kingdom here on earth. Now, Paul points out a lot of different spiritual gifts in today's scripture. Wisdom, knowledge, faith. I'm not going to read them all. But wait, there's more. If you turn to Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul adds the following: service, teaching, encouragement, and mercy. And then we can find evidence of other gifts: intercession, evangelism, apostleship, administration, exhortation, generosity, and pastoring. These are all ones that were pointed out, and Paul made it clear. No one gift is better than another. So don't be putting yourself on a pedestal because you have what you consider to be a superior gift, because it ain't. Every one of them is to be used for the common good, to make a difference in this world, to bring Jesus' reign here to earth. It's humbling, isn't it, to realize that you have been given gifts. We have been given gifts. Every one of us has been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. And that's whether you use them or not. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you know that, yep, I get it, I know the gifts I've been given. It's like those gifts we get, right? So I have a gift that I carry with me every day. Somebody gave me this pocket knife. I carry it with me every day. And it's the coolest knife ever because it's a Swiss Army knife. I've used the screwdriver. I've used the blades. I've cut myself. I will admit to that. But it's a gift that was given to me that I want to use. There's also other gifts we have that you unwrap it out of the paper, but you never take it out of the box. And I know some of us may be even looking to regift those. But I'm telling you, they're needed here. Your gifts that you have are needed here, because all gifts are needed. All gifts are important. Now, when we talk about gifts and the X-Men and women, thank you, John, I'm just going to spend a minute on Cyclops. Now, here's the backstory. Scott Summers is his name. He was orphaned at an early age when his parents were killed in a plane crash. He was in an orphanage when he found out that he could shoot lasers out of his eyes. How cool is that? Bit of a problem, though, if you don't know how to control it. So Professor X finds him, takes him in, and helps him control his burning gaze. All right, listen to how he did it. With a ruby quartz eye fixture. Really cool glasses. Professor X designed it for him. So then that way he could use those powers. And he became known as Cyclops, like the gigantic one-eyed creatures out of Greek mythology. Now, he spent a lot of time fighting bad mutants and creatures from out of space. That's what he did. And he used his optic blast to do that. Now, if you're curious, the reason he can do this, it's because his cells absorb power from the sun, hence the name Summers. Now, he didn't even realize that he had this gift when he was younger, and he didn't even realize once he found out that he had it that it could be used for good. But once he got control of it, once he had a way to start using it, he could use it for good, and he protected people and he defeated evil. Now, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he was very specific about gifts. And chances are, he had seen these gifts when he was founding that church, so he knew they had gifts. And when he went to them, he said, let's take a look at a couple of those. I want to tell you what some of them are, some of these things I've seen. He begins with a spiritual gift of wisdom. Now, this is a gift where people have insights into others and things that other people may not see. They have that ability to look deeper. And it's given to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they take this and they can use this knowledge and they can help biblical teaching. They can apply them. They can help these people in, improve their lives. People with wisdom in your life, you've probably run across them. They may be coaches. Anyone have a coach that they remember? Their gift may be wisdom. Or they may be your mentor, somebody who guided you along. Paul also mentions knowledge, but that's a little bit different. That's not wisdom. Now, this gift gives people the ability to research and study and to look deeper into things and then apply it. That's the other key, is they learn things and then can apply it. Now, these are the people that love God with all their mind, and they dig deep. And when someone has heard a sermon or is in a Bible study and they have lots of big questions and they want to seek and find those answers, their gift of knowledge is leading them. Now, Paul mentions the gifts of healing and miracles. And you may look at it and think, well, yeah, but that was in the early church. We don't have miracles today. Healing doesn't work that way. And nothing could be further from the truth. Those still exist today. We all know people who focus on helping others heal, be it in the medical profession or in the mental health profession. These are people who look at it and say, I want to help this person. I want them to overcome their illness, their sickness, their lives to be better. And if you wonder about miracles, we see them every day. These are people who believe God is in the simplest things that happen and in the biggest things that happen. It doesn't need to be supernatural, but it can be. And these people have that ability to trust that God is using them and others to see those miracles happen here on earth. Some people have a highly developed gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy does not mean you can tell the future. Prophecy means that you're able to speak the truth for God. Prophets are not always liked and admired. In fact, sometimes they tick people off because they're speaking the truth, and we don't want to hear that. If you look in Scripture, you'll see that the prophet Jeremiah gets thrown down a well for speaking the truth for God. Jesus gets driven out of his hometown to a cliff that people want to throw him off of because he spoke the truth for God. So in some ways, the gifts of prophecy, it can be dangerous. And we need that gift today more than ever. We need people who are going to speak God's justice because we have oppression, we have bigotry, we have injustice in this world, and the prophets are called to speak the truth to that. The last one on the list that Paul mentions is speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. And you can find lots of detail about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go there. Paul talks a lot about it. Now for us, we're Methodists. So we don't really promote speaking and interpreting of tongues. We just don't. It's not one of the ones that we hold as necessary. But Paul will tell you that God is using all of these gifts, every single one of them, to bring the good news to people and God's reign here on earth. Now, when Stan Lee created this group of mutants with all these interesting gifts, people came to him and said, Stan, why mutants? And his response was this, I'll read it because it's classic. I couldn't have everybody bitten by a radioactive spider or exposed to a gamma ray explosion. I said to myself, why don't I just say they're mutants? They were born that way. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we're born anew. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're given spiritual gifts and we're called to use them. Charles Xavier, Professor X, he was convinced. He believed that if mutants joined together and used their special powers for good, there would be trust and goodwill in the world. He was generous with his powers, and they weren't always welcome, and they weren't always recognized by others. And see, just like Charles Xavier, just like the mutants, just like us, we have a choice. I mean, the mutants could have lived an angry life. They could have denied their gifts. They could have hid the powers that they had or tried to. Or they could find strength in that diverse group of gifts that they have. They could acknowledge that they were going to use their power for good. And they joined together to move forward. Now, For us, as followers of Jesus Christ, we each have been given gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, even if you don't consider yourself a follower, know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are at work in you, and you have gifts. And whether or not you choose to use those powers to further God's kingdom on earth, to tell the story of Jesus, to make this world a better place, you will. You can't avoid it. Because that's the challenge this week that I have for you. It's one of two challenges. One is to identify your spiritual gifts. Use that spiritual gift inventory you were given today. You don't have time to fill it out right now. And notice I didn't tell you to fill it out during the sermon because you wouldn't have heard a word I said. And you may not have anyways. We'll find out. But take time. Fill that out. If you don't want to do it that way, go online and type in spiritual gifts inventory. There are more than one. There are dozens. Or just open up your bulletin and look at the bottom of the worship order. We've given you a link to a website. So there's no excuse for not finding out what your spiritual gifts are. And then learn more about them. Read up on them. Figure out, okay, I get it. I understand what you're saying, what my gift means. And then what I want you to do is figure out within this church, within your job, within your life, how are you being called to use those spiritual gifts? If you don't know, find a good friend and talk to them about it. I'm guessing they know what your gifts are and they've seen them and they can guide you. Talk to me, talk to Sherry. Find someone to help guide you along the way. Because see, God has put us all here, every single one of us in this time and place to use our gifts for the common good. We're called to change the world. We're called to make a difference for the glory of God. And when we come together and use our superpowers that we have been given from the Holy Spirit, each one of us can become an everyday hero. Please pray with me. Lord, the Holy Spirit washes over us and has shared gifts with each of us. Help us to learn what those are. Help us to figure out the steps that we need to take to use those to proclaim your word here on earth, to show the love of Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can achieve that vision. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.